Before Ben brings us the sermon today, here's the passage that it's based on. Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 41. Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Thanks be to God. And now a quick prayer for Ben before he comes. O Lord, we do pray that you will put your words in Ben's mouth. We pray that you will open our ears to hear your word. And we pray that each one of us may gain from your word today. Amen.
Thank you, Rod. Good morning, everyone. All good. Roger. So good morning, everyone. My name is Ben. It's a real privilege to be here today to be talking to you about the passage that Rod just read. I want to start the sermon today with a name, not Jesus, and I typically do a lot of Sunday school teaching, but the name today we're looking at is a name called Carson, or according to the Associated Fandom page, Charles Ernest Carson, born in 1856. Now, I wonder if that's ringing any bells anyone at the moment, sort of vacant, because it's hard to tell with the masks, but for those of you who haven't got a clue what I'm talking about, firstly, I'd recommend Downton Abbey, urgently. You won't regret it. Joe and I watched, I think, the first three series in about 3 weeks last summer, and that was time well spent. But all you need to know, for those blissfully unaware, is that Carson was the head butler of Downton Abbey, a big, important place set a few years ago. And he was in charge of the servants there, big servant body that was based there. Just like here, or similar to here, in this passage. And just like in this passage, Carson was given great responsibility to manage the servants following the will of the Lord. Lord grant them, in this case. For his troubles, he was provided with great privilege, honour amongst the servants. But he was also held responsible and accountable if something went wrong. And hopefully, he will serve as a fairly useful illustration today as we look a bit deeper into this passage. And how the church, and in this passage which looks at how the church, that Jesus focuses the importance of leadership in the church. How Jesus shows that with the honour of leadership comes great responsibility and accountability. A role so important, it comes with a very serious warning to those who will not undertake it faithfully to God. The plan is we will look at the passage in three chunks. I don't know, for those of you listening to Simon's passage last week, Simon's sermon last week, he coined the phrase chunk, and so we'll continue to do that today. And then apply what we learn within to three different groups of people. Those in leadership, obviously, but those also observing leadership and those considering starting leadership. And how ultimately the passage in its entirety points to Jesus as the only leader we can truly rely on. So we'll start with the passage, and it might be useful if you've got the passage that was read by Rod in front of you. And we start with a little subheading, which is about the question of leadership. So the passage we just read picks up from where Jesus left off last week in the sermon series we're currently in. Simon preached that week, and it was a parable describing how we as Christians must be watchful for Jesus's return. And the passage today uses the same sort of language. We are the Christians, the servants waiting for the Master, Jesus, to return, and acting as if he could return any minute, or at least that's the idea. So, moving on, Peter then asks in verse 41, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" It may be that Peter was thinking that what Jesus had previously just described was a tall order and hoping that perhaps it didn't apply to him. And he was looking for a way out. If so, that plan massively backfires. Jesus responds by expanding on what he had just said and then going on to make it clear that the expectations to Peter, to the leaders of the church, are even greater, not less, than what was expected of the wider Christian body. Jesus answers and begins the section by stating, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants?" Now, I wouldn't consider this an actual answer to that question. Instead, Jesus appears to use this as a chance to focus his parable onto a subset of servants, the servant leaders. And using the context of the rest of the parable, we can equate this to church leadership. So, following the metaphor from before, if the master is Jesus and the servants the Christians, and in verse 32 it says, "Faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of the servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time are the church leaders." The leaders of the wider Christian body. So in answer to Peter's question, Jesus is now to give more detail specifically for leaders. And leadership in the broadest of sense, I think, those who have responsibility for others, whatever context that may be. So believe it or not, Charlie hasn't given me a passage specifically focused on him, especially in his absence today. It absolutely does apply to him, but the leadership role that is described here and found throughout is found throughout the church. Husbands, small group leaders, kid groups leaders, etc., etc. The list is a long one. Charlie, I'm sure, would be the first person to point out that the responsibility of leadership does not sit entirely on his shoulders. But the passage today also applies to those not actively in leadership right now. What Jesus goes on to say is important for those observing leadership, so for those observing Charlie in his day-to-day work, and important for those considering leadership at whatever stage in your Christian journey you are. Which thankfully, I think, accounts for everyone in this room, which is good. So you should all be listening. That's the first chunk. The second chunk, as we move on to looking at verses 43 to 46, the subheading for this is the consequences of leadership. Jesus primarily uses the next set of verses to demonstrate the importance of leadership. And the main way he does this is to use really stark language, really strong language, of the consequences of doing both a good and perhaps more vividly, a bad job. So first, let's bring in Carson again to try and help us understand the language Jesus, and the point Jesus goes on to make. So Carson, as I mentioned, head butler and servant leader. He has serious responsibility within this grand house. He, for example, in the film, I'd recommend that, it's only an hour and a half as opposed to anything else, responsible for organising big state occasion almost, the banquet for a royal family. But throughout the series, he's also responsible for helping and just looking after the other servants in Lord Grantham's household. He is given an awful lot of trust from Lord Grantham. It is Lord Grantham's people. They are his possessions. Lord Grantham is giving that responsibility over to Carson to manage on his behalf. What does Carson get in return for repaying this trust? Reward, a bonus, a house, Lord Grantham's possessions. Real reward if it goes well. Get it wrong, on the other hand, he is held solely responsible. Should the banquet be a disaster, he would be held accountable for the entire house not doing Lord Grantham's will. Should the servants be malnourished, poorly rested, not doing their job properly, he would be held accountable for not looking after Lord Grantham's people. Lord Grantham, having entrusted his servants to Carson, expects him to carry out this role faithfully to his wishes. If he does not do that, the punishment would rightfully be severe. So, serious reward, serious punishment. For Carson, someone with serious responsibility, they are the only two consequences of his actions. The second footman, on the other hand, whose name absolutely escapes me, is a minor servant, only does what Carson, the butler, tells him, and is in charge of absolutely no one. A job with minor responsibility, with proportionally minor consequences. So if he does a decent job, say at setting the table, he gets to maybe enjoy a nice quiet cup of tea. If he forgets which knife goes where, when he sets out the set, well, no one really knows anyway. The consequences are small, proportionate to his responsibility. The point here is that the greater the responsibility, the greater the reward or punishment if you do your job well or badly. And Jesus uses this idea and really uses it in quite a stark way to underline the importance he's placing on leadership or on the leadership role. So firstly, coming back to the passage itself, he describes the really positive result if the servant manager does a good job. So in verses 43 and 44, we read, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so, that is, looking after the servants, when he returns. He will put him in charge of all his possessions. Really positive, a great reward. On the other hand, he then goes on to describe real severity of not doing well. At the end of verse 46, we read, he, the master, will cut him to pieces and assign the servant master with unbelievers if he does it badly. That's unsettling. When I read it, it's shocking, and I think it shocked me again as Rod read it. It's vivid, it's harsh language, it's really severe. Jesus describes real consequences, both good and bad, for this role, for this leadership role. He does this because leadership in a church is a real responsibility and reaps the consequences of a highly responsible job. And I point out that the consequences that Jesus is describing follow on from what the manager has done. Notice the word doing. In verse 43, Jesus says, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing. Not thinking, not hoping for, not wishing for, doing. The measure of a leader lies in their activity, their actions. Goodwill alone is not what Jesus is seeking here in leadership. Sandwiched between 43 and 44, the positive consequences of good leadership, and 46, the negative consequences of doing bad leadership, is a verse that I think makes an important point. So in verse 45, Jesus says, but suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink with the wider church as well, and risks grave reputational damage outside of the church, posing potential blockers to future engagement with those yet to come to Christ. So how do we apply these words to us today? So for those in leadership, pastors, husbands, small group leaders, the list goes on. The most obvious application is one of warning. Let these verses serve as a stark warning to those who are veering away from the faithful biblical management of God's church. It is God's people, not yours, not mine. So abuse that at your peril. And if you're not sure, the Bible is the first place to go to. More positively, let Jesus' attitude of the importance of leadership inspire us to be ambitious and active in your leadership. Let its importance motivate and encourage you when you are tired and when you have other pressures going on in your life. When you are considering not reviewing your talk to the kids, the small group, the church, or not sitting down with your wife or children to talk about Jesus. And finally, use these verses to remind you what leadership is for. It's for preparation. The whole of my passage and the passage from last week, so verses 35 to 48, is about ensuring the servants, the church, Jesus' disciples, are ready for his return, the master's return. And not just any old waiting for. There's anticipation there. Verse 36 describes the servants immediately opening that door on the return of the master. That's what the church should be, eagerly anticipating the arrival of Jesus. And the leaders take center stage in enabling and facilitating that on our behalf. So for those viewing leadership, let this passage encourage us in the importance of holding leaders to account. Lovingly, caringly, but seriously. It would be both for the sake of the church, but also, as we see in this passage, of the leader. Don't avoid tough questions or conversations. Don't be a bystander to leadership, not based on the Bible, and not preparing you for Jesus' certain return. And pray. Pray for the hard and tiring work of leadership to be done as the Bible lays out. Being selfless, continually putting others first, and preparing the church, often, if not exclusively, at personal cost, does not come easy to sinners such as us. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, and thank God we have it available to us. And then for those considering leadership, let this be both an encouragement and a warning. Jesus describes in verse 43, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so, looking after the servants when he returns. He will put him in charge of all of his possessions. What an honour. What more encouragement should we need? To jump in, I've written here, to take the lead in serving others despite the cost. It comes at a cost. There's real privilege in doing so. But be cautious as well. Beware of entering this lightly. Jesus uses the severest of language for those who neglect their leadership duties. From the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Leadership comes in all shapes and sizes, of different commitment levels and responsibilities, but whether it is leading one, hundreds, is a responsibility placed onto your shoulders that must be taken seriously. Be prepared for it. And I know if you're interested in that sort of thing, if you're interested in how you might be able to take a leadership role, please do speak to Charlie, Matt, David. All of them will be able to help to give you good advice on that. And then so we come to my final point, the link to Jesus. When I first read this passage, I was tempted to think really positively that the faithful manager described could be me. I can be that faithful, that wise, that person whom the master rewards when he returns for looking after his servant so well. I can't. And I'm not the only one. Leaders are sinners just as much as non-leaders are, wherever they may sit. No one can be the faithful and wise manager that God is looking for, not in a perfect way. No leader can look after Jesus' church in a perfect way. Jesus is the only perfect leader. As a church, that is where our view of leadership must ultimately lie, where we must remain focused. In preparing for his return, it is only natural that we focus on him who is to return, our leader. He is the perfect, faithful, and wise manager that will ensure we are truly prepared for his return. We have been given much. We can look to Jesus directly and find out what he wants as our leader. And only through faith in Jesus, in his Holy Spirit, and in his example, can leaders begin to approach the standard he sets. And he sets an incredible standard. Let's thank God for that. He is a perfect example for leadership that we should just continue to focus on, whether or not we are leaders or whether or not we are just part of we are part of the wider church. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this description of how important leadership is in your church. We pray that we will use it as a warning for false leadership and be active in watching out for that. But we also pray that it will act as an encouragement for those in or thinking about leadership. It comes with great reward. And we thank you that you don't just let us do leadership on our own right, in our own way, but you give us all the support we could possibly need through your Bible and the Holy Spirit and the example set in Jesus to lead your church in a faithful and wise way. Amen.